Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Full circle.
On the right, fake to Armstrong, run, hook five.
Down the middle for McCleskey, and he puts it through. Jason McCleskey, touchdown! They take the lead with 3 seconds.
Patterson to the end zone, drives his way in. Virginia Tech has won it in 6 overtimes.
All right, here we go. College football. Full circle, Mike Carver and Joe Lisi right here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 204. Joined as always by the encyclopedia of college football, that is, go for the two, Joe Lisi. Joe, my man, how are you today?
I'm excited because now we inch a little bit closer to the real season of college football. Last week was a joke, an aberration. Everybody that went 5-0, I broke this game down for 6 months in the lab. I was under a microscope. I knew UTEP would win. Yeah, okay. All right. Now we talk about the real things. We have top 25 battles, Clemson, Georgia, LSU, UCLA, a lot of moving parts, quarterbacks being named. Now I start to get amped up even more so. I could put somebody through a wall usually, but now I feel like I could deadlift 475 right now.
I'd like to see you do that, and I believe you could. And then you
I don't know about deadlift, but back in the day, Carver, benching a little bit, let me tell you, incline bench, I could hold my own at 190 pounds. So, we'll see. I'm inching up there in age, but don't let the grays fool you.
You're the best, Joe. We got a lot to do today. We're going to each give our top five win totals for this upcoming season. Now, we have gone through win totals of pretty much all the Power Five conferences. We did some group of fives as well. We have broken down almost all of these teams. So today, Joe, we whittle it down to our five favorite. Best. The ones that I know for sure me and you are definitely both going to be playing pretty much. Some of these five. You actually have gone even beyond that. I think you got six. So we've got plenty of win totals that we're going to dive into today. It is hard, but you're going to play them all, Joe. That's why we're here. We're here to put some tickets in. Also today, we'll start to look at some of Thursday's games because we've got a slate on Thursday. We've got a slate on Friday. Away we go. First full week of college football. But we start, Joe, as always, with a couple of headlines. And this one I thought was the best one of the day. And we've been doing a lot of quarterbacks getting named as starters.
Right.
But it's very rare that you get the grad assistant coach who's going to step in and start. Immortal Zeb Noland is going to be starting for South Carolina against Eastern Illinois this week. Noland had a year of eligibility remaining. Previously played at Iowa State and North Dakota State. Starting seven games, the great Zeb Noland in the saddle for the Gamecocks and Beamer this coming Saturday, Joe. Let's go.
Well, Luke Dottie's hurt, so he hurt himself in fall camp, and I read that as well in terms of Zeb Nolan. What's interesting about Zeb Nolan, started his career with Matt Campbell, got some limited duty, and obviously couldn't beat out Brock Purdy and Ames, transfers to North Dakota State last year with Quincy Patterson, the former Virginia Tech quarterback that now is the starter there for this season, goes out week number one, and they lose, right? North Dakota State, I forget who they played, but I was covering that for game, they were like a 25.5 point favorite or whatever. Week number one, they come out, they lose, right? So Zeb Nolan didn't get it done in terms of the FCS level. Now he's going to get it done with Kevin Harris and Shane Beamer in Columbia. He better get it done, because if he doesn't, this team is in major, major trouble this season. I think they struggled to get over three wins, but we'll see how it plays out in Columbia.
Also, a place we know very well and somebody you know very well, Terry Bowden and ULM, right. Rhett Rodriguez, of course, yes. Rich's son. We know that Rich went there to be the OC for Terry. We spoke with Terry last month as we were getting ready for the season to start. Rhett Rodriguez going to be the starting quarterback, of course, transferred from Arizona to play for his father there at ULM.
Yeah, and the biggest thing, obviously, with ULM right now is obviously consistency. They lacked explosive plays. They were the one team in terms of FBS last year, did not lead. Not once, did not play with a lead once all season long. And they open up against a very blue-collar team, a team I'm high on, in the Kentucky Wildcats and Will Levis, 29.5 point underdogs. It's about building consistency. We talked to Coach Bowden. Rhett Rodriguez gives them that ability for explosive plays. It's not going to be easy this year. They're in a major rebuild, but if they can build consistency to the start of conference play, then it's anybody's guess, and you just want to get a couple of wins under your belt and really look to 2022.
Two would be preferable for them, Joseph.
Yes,
I think
and
their
us.
Total is 1.5. And we, right. Of course, have that bet where we have ULM paired with Kansas, of course, to go over that total with UConn. So we could use a couple wins from Terry down there at ULM, that's for sure.
Did you see those unis?
Just, I was going to bring it up. Those are sharp. Now, I don't know whose idea that was over in Lawrence to get those old school throwbacks in the mix, but that was a nice look. If it was Lance Leopold there going into Kansas and bringing back those unis, good job by him, Joe. Those are outstanding.
Outstanding. They're going to wear those against Texas Tech. Two of the best uni in college football. One of top five.
All right, Joe, we're just getting going. College football full circle. Carver and Lisi right here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back. Let's take a look at where the action and where the lines are moving for these games on Thursday night. Right here, college football full circle. We roll on after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe, we've got a lot of games this week, as we know. first full week of college football. Let's take a look at where things are sitting right now in terms of the lines for Thursday night. Let's start with this Ohio State-Minnesota game. This game opened at 14. We saw some 13.5s under the 2-touchdown total for a little bit. As we get closer now, you're starting to see the movement towards Ohio State. Yesterday, Joe, I saw some 14.5s. FanDuel's actually pushed it back down to 13.5 now. I've got 77% of the money on Ohio State, 73% of the tickets. Everybody on the under, too, here. 72% of tickets on the under, 68% of the money on the under. Where do you think this thing gets as we get closer to Thursday? Is it going to more and more Ohio State money going to pour in as we get closer to kickoff and we can get this thing closer to the 15, maybe 16 range?
I think 15, 16 as we inch closer to game day. I think it'll play back here. I've seen a lot of these go back, and you know, people think I'm nuts, but I remember spreads from years ago. And go back a couple of years ago when Drew Locke was at Georgia. Same type of situation with Georgia. Drew Locke was at Missouri. Georgia on the road in Columbia. Same type of spread. Opened up at 13.5. They pushed it up to 14 and went back down to 13.5. That right before game day, they pushed it up to 14.5, 15. Georgia wins the game by 14 flat. So, you know, this could be a game where it's right on the number. So where you get this number is going to be very important, whether you win or lose, in my opinion. I think there's a number of factors for me why I lean to Minnesota in this ballgame. And again, I don't love this game, but I lean to Minnesota because it is a conference game. We have a redshirt freshman quarterback in C.J. Stroud. As good as he is in terms of his athleticism at the high school level, we need to see him perform between the white lines in Minnesota. And until I see that, I can't buy in saying, oh yeah, status quo, same thing as Justin Fields week one. And the fact that Minnesota got blown out by Michigan and Joe Milton, you know, in that matchup where basically it was a pick'em type of game or a 2-point spread either way, I think PJ Fleck remembers that. This isn't an elite team, but he does have the quarterback advantage in Tanner Morgan from an experience perspective, and that could hold true, especially with the fact that Ohio State might not travel well to this game. So I would lean anything 14 or more, I'm taking the Golden Gophers in this matchup.
Wow, there you go. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, anything over 14, Joe, I'm leaning right now towards the Gophers as well. I just think, you know, you got a little bit – and listen – you don't know. It's unknown with Stroud. You just haven't seen the guy play yet in real action. So could he go out there and absolutely whack him by 30? Yeah, of course he could. It's Ohio State. But I think you're playing in a little that you got the redshirt freshman making his first go-around out on the field.
And not only that, Carver, to your point, it's a road game. It's not even a home game.
Yeah.
It's a road conference game. And on top of it, with Oregon on deck.
What do you think of the Big Ten doing this year? Like, they put a lot of big games in week number one right out of the gate.
Yeah.
You know, usually you get the non-conference games the first couple weeks. I mean, they're throwing you Ohio State, Minnesota, Iowa, Indiana, Penn State, Wisconsin. Friday night they got, you know, not as marquee, but Northwestern and Michigan State. You know, they're throwing you some big conference games right out of the gate. I think it's pretty good.
I think it is good, and I think that, you know, the one knock on the Big Ten is that people say, oh, it's not an elite conference, but from top to bottom, they are strong, you know, and they're making moves in terms of potentially being that conference in the next 5 years to maybe, potentially challenge the SEC. What I mean by that is in terms of conference, top teams to the bottom, right? That's what you want to see. That's what makes an elite conference is that if the top team goes out, hey, he goes on the road to face, you know, team number 8 or 9, there's the potential for a loss. And that's what we haven't seen in recent years, but the team's getting better. Teams like Illinois that stepped up. Teams like Wisconsin that can strike an upset from time to time. Minnesota was 11-2 last year. Can they maintain the consistency? Northwestern gets to the Big Ten championship. So we'll see what transpires. I will say I feel like they did this because last year they were at a disadvantage, right? They got started so late that I think the Big Ten caught a lot of heat. And you can make the argument, Carver, they don't shy away. If you go through recent years, their out-of-conference games have always been like the MAC and always FBS schools. They're not like the SEC and other conferences where they're scheduling FCS opponents. When you look at a majority of their schedules, those teams play FBS competition for a majority of those 12 games, and that's a testament to the conference as a whole.
No, it absolutely is. I just think it's a really great way that they're coming out of the gate here. All right, the game on Thursday that has the chance to maybe be the most entertaining, and especially if you look at all the totals on the board, it's the highest by far, is the game down in Orlando between Boise State and UCF. Right now at FanDuel, 5.5 for the Knights. Let me see where this one's been moving here, Joe. Now, this opened at 4, of course. It's gone up to 5.5. You can still get some fives in a few spots. 68% of the tickets on Central Florida, 51% of the money, so a little bit of a split right there. Tickets on the over, 54%. Money on the under, 87%. Something to maybe keep our eye on. The total opened at 71.5. It's gone down to 68.5. Chance for a lot of fireworks with Dylan Gabriel and UCF. And listen, Boise State got a new coach coming in. We know that they haven't been as good. You know, it's not like they've been awful. They've still won, you know, between 8-9 games, but not the same Boise State we've been used to, as we've discussed. Chance for a good one here on Thursday.
Oh, it is, right? And we have two programs maybe going in opposite directions. They actually, UCF might have upgraded their head coach. You know, you can make the argument, is Gus Malzahn an upgrade from Josh Heupel, right? After Frost left, Heupel, okay, kept the train moving, and they won the games they were supposed to, but, you know, had some problems a few years ago in winning road games. They struggled last year again in some critical matchups, got blown out by BYU, lost to Memphis after a big lead on the road. So maybe the luster wasn't there for UCF, but now you have a guy in Gus Malzahn that beat Nick Saban, right, in the regular season. How many coaches could say that? So you might catch lightning in a bottle here. I think it's a great fit for the Central Knights. Dylan Gabriel, that offense, 500 total yards per game. Now, we know about their defense, right? Have they upgraded to any capacity under Gus Malzahn? He brings in Big Cat Bryant, a defensive end from Auburn. That should solidify the defensive front. But on the flip side, we have a Boise State program that really took a step back and regressed from a front seven perspective, allowed 169 on the ground. So I think, personally, this game favors UCF, but we talked about the total. This could be a 90-point game. It opened at 71. It's down to 68.5 in Orlando. I might jump on the over here. I don't think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I think the Gus Bus wants to showcase what he has from an offensive philosophy perspective here.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about Central Florida scoring points, Joe. I'm worried about Boise. I'm worried about them holding up their end of the bargain to get to that.
Could
number.
They get us 20?
Man, you're saying that UCF's going to drop 50 on them? 50 to 20? Is that what you? Is that? I mean, I don't think it's going to be that kind of a blowout.
Well,
I'm not going to go
I'll
that
tell you
crazy.
What. I think there's the potential. If you look at that matchup against Georgia Tech, I cover that in in-game. Same type of philosophy. You have more of a methodical team in Georgia Tech, and the tempo killed them. The tempo of the ability to just run plays after play after play, and when their offense was inconsistent, their defense was out there for extended periods. That's what we have to talk about.
Yeah, no doubt. College football full circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back, take a look at some more lines on Thursday. Later on, mine and Joe's top five win totals for this season. We keep rolling on college football full circle right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
All right, and we're back. College football full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe, let me blow through a couple more of these for you here because they've started to put up some lines for some of these other games.
I know.
You know, the
it's
added
great,
games.
Isn't it?
You know, the games where you have the big, you know, you have the big school taking on the tomato can. They're starting to put some of those lines up. But let me give you a couple of other big ones, because there is one line that is of interest to you, and that's this South Florida NC yes. State game that's going to be yes. going on. This opened at 16.5. I've seen it up to 18.5. I've seen it even at 19 in a couple places, Joe. You've got 82% right. of the tickets and the money on NC State so far. This thing right. continues to climb. I know that you are all over South Florida and Scott coming up here on Thursday night.
Yeah, I am. And I think it's a complete overreaction from last year. And that's not to take away from what Dave Doran and the crew did last year, 8-4 overall. Those 8 wins came against FBS opponents with a combined overall winning percentage of 414%. Played very well against some of the other teams. They beat Liberty by 1 point. They challenged De'Ara King, lost by 3. But it really comes down to the fact of USF was 1-8 last year. And a new head coach, he's got to understand how that talent responds. You got to weed that talent out. Which players fit the scheme, which players don't. And at the end of the year, if you just look at this team, they were playing much better at the end of the year than they were in the beginning of the year. And if you just want a body of work against some of the better teams in the AAC, look at Cincinnati. They dropped that game early on, 28-7. They go toe-to-toe with Temple, lose that matchup 34-33, I believe. They challenge Memphis. They lose a tough game. They lose by, I think, 8 points to UCF. So that team was playing better at the end of the year, which for me shows consistency, shows that they're progressing and they're starting to understand the scheme. And he has some playmakers. He just named Cade Fortin his starting quarterback, the transfer from North Carolina. Kelly Jr. is an explosive back. I like this team overall. Now, are they going to go out in Raleigh and win this matchup? Most likely not, but I think they'll be able to keep it well within the 18.5 point number. And then on top of that, we have an NC State team week number 2 that has to travel to Starkville against an SEC opponent in Mississippi State, and it's a short week. So do they go all out or do they rest? And that's a concern for NC State's offense as well. As good as Bam Knight and Person were, this is an offense that at times was handcuffed, only averaging 113 rushing yards per game. So give me USF with the points in this ballgame.
There you go. And it looks like, Joe, that you might even be able to get more points if you keep waiting. I mean, this thing could be 3 touchdowns by the time we get to Thursday night with how much it has moved in the last couple of days. Now, let me give you the tomato can lines, because they not everybody has them up yet. BetMGM does have the tomato can lines up. So let me run through them for you quickly. Coastal Carolina -35.5 against the Citadel. You've got Buffalo laying the 48.5 against Wagner, the little school from Staten Island, heading up to Buffalo. 48.5. Jeez, Joe. Long Island is going to FIU. FIU laying 33.5. Ball State laying 25.5 against Western Illinois. What else do we have for you? How about Tulsa laying 29 against UC Davis? Utah laying 35.5 against Weber State. We know about the Tennessee game with Bowling Green. New Mexico laying 19.5 against Houston Baptist. Jeez. UNLV, I mean, honestly, 9.5 against Eastern Washington.
Tate Martell. Is it a Tate Martell sighting for you?
I've been waiting for word on that. I think I saw he got banged up, Joe. I don't think he's...
This guy's career is like...
And that's the story.
Like...
And that's the story of his life. I mean, he's just always hurt the dude. But you notice a difference when we get to the UNLV game. You know, everybody else is, you know, 48, 35. You get to UNLV, they're laying 9.5 against Eastern Washington. And finally, Arizona State, who's playing Southern Utah, who just played San Jose State on Saturday. The Sun Devils laying the 44.5. And about that, on a Thursday, you're getting a bailout blowout game, Joe. You usually don't get a 10 p.m. East Coast Thursday night game. They're giving you one with Arizona State and Southern Utah. Lay to 44.5, Joe. Let's go.
Well, let's take the over in that, right? Do we feel good about the
55.
Over there?
How about this? The line's 44.5 and the total's 55.5. So that tells you right there.
It's tough. It's a tough one. I'm not touching that game unless I need it, unless South Florida lays an egg on Thursday, which hopefully they don't.
Bailout, blowout, you know, baby.
Right, in terms of that. But you know, what's interesting is the kids from Wagner, right? Where they're going out to Buffalo. Hey, kiss my ring, yeah? Eh? I'm coming out. I'm from Statagene, right?
Yeah,
Statagene.
I mean, listen.
The kids
you're
from Staten Island. Statagene.
When you're getting 48 and a half from Buffalo, I mean, that's a problem, Joe. I mean, that's an issue.
When you're getting Buffalo likes to ground their pound. We know that, right? Kevin Marks is there. They want to pound the rock. Could the kids in Staten Island, and, you know, I originally grew up in Brooklyn but moved out to New Jersey. We know about the tri-state area, right? You know, don't mess the hair, right? I got a tackle here.
I mean, look, the line's 48.5. The total's 57.5. So basically they think that, what, Wagner going to score it all? I guess they got him on a donut or a seven, I guess. No points for Wagner, I guess, coming up on Thursday night.
You know, jeez, these FCS games are very tough. You don't know what you're going to get. You know, the FCS schedule, I stay away from. I mean, that Southern Utah game last week, you know, they played okay. I mean, they moved the football on a very physical blue-collar defense in San Jose State. They really did. But you can't – it's so difficult when you're dealing with 18- and 22-year-old kids at the FBS level. Now kick it down a notch to the FCS level where there's even more inconsistency, even more, you know, week-to-week things change. The lack of coaching, hands-on. It's almost like a high school type of situation when you break down week one of FCS. So I take a wait-and-see approach, unless you just want to go for a ride because it's Labor Day weekend. Pull the trigger.
Well, I think the good thing is, Joe, that we have other games on Thursday to kind of, you know, veer us away from that. You know, we have the Ohio State-Minnesota game. You're very invested in the South Florida-NC State game. I feel like I'm going to be very invested in Boise State-UCF. That's a game that I'm probably going to really sink my teeth into one way or the other. So we have some other things to kind of veer us away. Let me give you a couple other games involving some bigger schools. Rutgers opened as a 13 against Temple. I've actually seen that go to 14.5 in some places, Joe. So, and have about 63% of the money, tickets for 64% of the money on Rutgers. I'm going to get to them in our next segment when we do our top five win totals, but maybe a little too much for Schiano against Temple here on Thursday night. Maybe a little.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Rod Carey and Temple, Blue. You know, this is a tough matchup in the sense of I lean to Rutgers. This is a game I'm not going to play, though. I'll tell you that right now because I want to see what Temple, what we have out of the Owls. So, Anthony Russo transferred out, their former quarterback, to Michigan State in East Lansing, and then you have DeJuan Mathis that transferred in from Georgia. What is this team going to get? You know, let's not forget, they were a blue-collar Temple tough, right? That's what we know them under. Matt Rule, Jeff Collins, now Rod Carey comes in a little bit different type of team. We didn't see that physicality as much, but he's a great head coach. So I want to see this week one matchup. Again, I lean to Rutgers because of the physicality, because of Schiano. He seems to have this team trending in the right way, but it's a week one matchup, and we're talking about two touchdowns nonetheless. And basically, two schools that recruit the same area and landscape, right? So that's another thing that you always have to take into account when you break these games down. Yeah, we have AAC and we have Big Ten. On paper, it seems lopsided, but you're still talking about a program in Temple that recruits the tri-state area.
No, yes, they do, but this is part of the reason why Rutgers went to the Big Ten, Joe. You got it. You have to start laying the wood on a team like Temple.
Are you
like
giving the pep talk at before the game at the bonfire? Is that what you're doing? Carver's going in with the orange jacket. Listen, guys, I'm sitting on a 4.5 win ticket here. Okay. Yeah.
Look, there's going to be a lot of...
It's do or die for you guys.
I might be running over there by the middle of the season to give them the pep talk because we got to get the five wins.
I could see
Rutgers
Carver
this year.
Tie after Pharrell. The tie's all disheveled.
Yeah, I'm not going to be happy.
He looks like Gene Hackman and Hoosiers.
They better win
these. He's got the rolled up. You got the rolled up program.
They better win these September games. I'm going to tell you that right now because these are the games that are going to determine whether they get that win total. And it starts with this Temple game on Thursday night. Finally, this game has also had quite the move. Tennessee, now that we know that Joe Milton's going to be the quarterback, opened at 30.5, up to 35, 35.5 in a couple of shops. FanDuel's got it at 34.5. Tennessee, listen, Bowling Green stinks, Joe. They stink. Heupel's first game at Tennessee. Milton's there now, the new starter. 5 touchdowns you want to lay with the Vols on Thursday night?
No, I mean, I think they cover. I mean, under 35. I mean, you see, again, I mean, do we know Broadway Joe Milton? Where, is he going to show up like he did, you know, midseason after Michigan threw in the towel? I mean, here's the thing. Do you have confidence in Tennessee?
No.
I like them. I'll say it again. I'm sticking to it. I like them when they play Pittsburgh. Is that week 2 or 3? I'm going to say
week 2. Week 2.
Okay. That's the game I like them because I think the tempo will wear down Pitt. If you're asking me for a pick right now, I would say Tennessee. I don't love it. But at the end of the day, I love them week 2 because I feel the tempo will catch Pitt.
How about this total, man? It opened at 56.5. It's up to 61.
That's 41-20.
Tennessee's D that bad that Bowling Green's... Is Bowling Green going to contribute 15 or 20 points to that total, Joe? I mean, that's what I'm going to need him to get over that number, I feel. All right, college football full circle. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back. Get ready, Joe. Top win totals for the year. We take a look at them on college football full circle right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College football full circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe, it is time. We've gone through a lot of these win totals over the past few weeks in all the major conferences, even some group of fives, etc. And it's time for our 5 favorites. These are the 5, maybe even 6 for me and Joe, who we are definitely playing ourselves. The ones that we like the most. You take it away, Joe. Start. What's your first one that you're going with here?
Well, I'm going with Miami. 9.5 plus 125 to the over on FanDuel. I'm a believer. I'm a believer in De'Ara King. I'm a believer in this team that even if they lose week 1 to Alabama and I still like them plus the 18 and a hook, I think they could be an 11-1 football team. So I'm all in with the Hurricanes. I think we go back to the days of Melvin Bratton, back to the days of Brett Perriman, and back to the days of Vinny Testaverde, Michael Irvin. The U is back, baby. Over 9.5.
Ah, there you go. So Joe starts us off. I'm going to go to the Pac-12 to get us going, Joe, and I'm taking an under. Arizona State and the Sun Devils. That's right. When I look at this schedule, Joe, I just don't see it. I think that they're not as good as some of the upper echelon teams in this conference that they're going to be kind of put in the mix in. I think that they'll lose the game to Washington. I think that they will lose the game to USC. And right now you've got a total of 9 that you're sitting at. Now you're paying a little bit of juice, minus 135 at FanDuel, pretty much the same everywhere else. But when I look at the schedule, Joe, I just know that somewhere along the line they're going to lose a game that they quote-unquote should win, whether it's at UCLA or whether it's, you know, home for Washington State. You know, I could just see them slipping up a game, and they have 3 games in Utah, Washington, and USC that I think they can lose. Now, could they push this and go 9? Maybe. But a 10-2 season for Herm? I don't see it, Joe. I'm on the under Arizona State, under 9. Let's go.
You play to win the games. Isn't that what Herm used to say back
that
in
That is what Herm
New York?
Used to say.
You play to win the games. We'll see if Jaden Daniels and the crew could do it. Obviously a little bit inconsistent, but when they're on, I got to admit, they're as hot as anybody. Go back to that game in Tucson. They're still scoring on Kevin Sumlin and the crew. So, all right, I like the pick. You're going under. All right. I didn't put an under on here, and I'll get into that. I'll give you another over, and then we'll go to an under. We'll jump around a little bit. How about
you don't believe in the word under, Joe? Whether it's a total for a game or win total for a season,
well,
Joe Lisi does not go for the under. That's for sure.
Well, here's the thing. I suggest betting unders if you're going to go out with the wife or the girlfriend or your significant other and you're not going to watch the game. How you could sit there and watch an under is like human torture to me. So that's why I don't do it. It's a no play if I'm not going to, meaning I would never suggest an under and then watch the game. You have to root for nothing to happen, which is complete torture right. if you want to do that to yourself. I pick a side and I stick to the totals in terms of overs in college football. So let's move on. I'm going to switch gears to the ACC. I have two teams. I'll give you one. One is Wake Forest, 17 returning starters back. Sam Hartman in this offense averaged 36-plus per game last year. They have Roberson, a big-play wide receiver, Beal Smith, an underrated running back. And they went toe-to-toe with some good teams. They almost knocked off North Carolina and Sam Howell, lost that matchup 59-53. But more importantly, Carver, you look at their schedule, very winnable games the first eight games of the year. We talked about it. They could potentially be 8-0 before they play North Carolina in November. Now, people say you're crazy. All right, maybe I'm crazy, but they have Army on there. They have some other teams. Duke is on there. They could beat those teams. I have basically an experienced quarterback with an elite type of skill talent around them. I love Dave Clawson. I wouldn't be shocked if this team is 7-1, 8-0 come November. So I'm buying in to 6.5, 7 wins at least for Wake Forest this year.
Wow, how about that? Joe Lisi going deep on the Demon Deacons here. Here's where I'm going next. I'll stay in the ACC since you were just there, and I'm going with another under. The theme is already here. Who's taking the overs and who's taking the unders? And I'm going to Tallahassee, Joe. I'm taking this under with Florida State. It's at 5.5 pretty much everywhere, and plus money to the under in a couple of places. I know DK's giving you plus 110 to the under. Bottom line, Joe, now there's two games on the schedule I know they're going to win. All right, they're going to beat Jacksonville State despite struggling with them last year. They should beat them, and they should beat UMass at home. They should beat Syracuse at home. So you're saying that's three. Here's the problem, Joe. They got to get three more, and the schedule is difficult. Notre Dame, Louisville, North Carolina, Clemson, NC State, Miami, the Gators. I'm sorry, Joe. I don't see them getting three wins out of the rest of that schedule. I am under 5.5 on the Seminoles this year. Mike Norvell continues to get pushed out the door. I feel for Mackenzie Milton. Hope he plays well, but I don't think things are going to go very well for him in Tallahassee.
I'm so happy you said this because I said I have no unders. That's one of my unders, so I'm with you. We talked about it. And I'll take it a step further before I give another under, and then we'll transition. But 1-9 over the last couple of years on the road or on a neutral field site, okay? And Mackenzie Milton, from what I'm reading, might not be the starter. I mean, Chubba Purdy, Brock Purdy's brother, seems to be playing a lot in terms of practice. They haven't mentioned the starter here, but don't be shocked come out week one against Notre Dame that that's not the case. And to just, you know, continue the conversation about Florida State, they allowed 189 rushing yards per game last year, 8.9 penalties per game. How undisciplined can you be? I mean, come on. Mike Norvell doesn't get it. He doesn't even know what time 12 o'clock is. And not only that, a very inexperienced secondary. So I'm with you, Carver. Sold on Florida State. How about this under? I'll give it under now. Big Ten, Michigan State. Yeah. Mel Tucker, sold. 4.5, sold. Down to four. Four? Maybe we'll go down to 3.5. Sold. I'm sold on Michigan State. This team lost their identity. They have no explosive playmakers on the outside. Methodical offense, Peyton Thorne, Anthony Russo. I do like running back Kenneth Walker that transfers in from Wake Forest. This is an offense that averaged only 2.6 yards per carry last year. From a defensive perspective, did not generate quarterback pressures or sacks. 12 sacks, 7 games, a -9 in turnover margin. And oh, by the way, the Big Ten, those bottom teams are getting better and have significant speed advantages over the Spartans. Sold, sold, sold.
There you go. I go to the Big 12 now, Joe, and I am taking an over. How about that? And that is the TCU Horned Frogs. 7.5 pretty much everywhere. Paying a little bit to the over, -120, -125. I think this is a sleeper team in the Big 12 this year, Joe. I think this is an 8-plus win football team. Schedule is good. non-conference with Duquesne, with Cal and SMU at home, winnable games. They, of course, have games in conference they can win, like Kansas, like Baylor, both at home. I think that Gary Patterson gets this group back to 8-plus wins. Give me the over 7.5 with the Horned Frogs.
And in all six of their wins last year, Carver, they rushed for over 200 yards.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out for that. So that's the matchup. As the running game goes, so does Max Duggan in that offense. So as you break it down, every game that they rush for over 200, they won. In the four losses, they struggled to run the football consistently. So like that pick, and we said that they're a potential dark horse. So let me get back to some overs. I'm going to stick in the ACC. I'm a buyer of this team, and, you know, Malik Cunningham in Louisville, very disappointing last year, 4-7 overall. DraftKings, I believe, and FanDuel, 6.5 win total in 2021. Difficult schedule, but, you know, I'm a believer in Scott Satterfield. They lose 2-2 Atwell, Javion Hawkins. I don't care. They have some athletic talent on the defensive side of the ball, led by linebacker Monty Montgomery. Malik Cunningham was recruited as the next Lamar Jackson. Showed glimpses of that, struggled last year. That game in Miami was really where they folded, but I think this is a bounce back year. He does have the potential to light the world on fire. He's a big play, dynamic playmaker, and let's not forget, on the road as a 16.5-point dog against your Notre Dame Fighting Irish, this team stepped up, lost a very close ball game, 12-7. I think they're going to shock some people. Don't be shocked if they're in that game week one against Matt Corral and Ole Miss as a 9.5-point dog. I'm over Louisville for 2021.
I am now going with another over, believe it or not, Joe. Texas A&M. 9.5. I hate that I'm back in Jimbo Fisher, but honestly, Joe, the schedule just, I have to do it. You're giving me plus money to the over. There's only two games on their schedule that I think they're, you know, they're at a disadvantage, which is clearly Alabama and LSU. I think they're the better team in all other 10 games on that schedule, and I think that they can go 10-2 this season, over 9.5. Jimbo Fisher, don't let me down. I'm backing a lot of coaches. I don't normally back with these, Joe. Him and the next guy I'm about to go with. But over 9.5, Texas A&M for me.
Yeah, no comment on that. We've talked about Jimbo ad nauseum on this show. So I'll leave it at that. I'll go to the Pac-12. And I'm going to jump in with Jimmy Lake and the Washington Huskies. I think this is a 10, potentially 10-win football team from a schedule perspective. Very winnable games. They get Oregon at home in Seattle. Very easy road games. Very winnable home games. Dylan Morris, I believe, takes the next step in his progression. Physical offense and defense aligns. This, to me, is one of the teams with Utah to beat in the Pac-12. Washington over their win total this year.
I like Washington as well. That just missed the cut for me, Joe. I think that that's probably – I'm still going to play Washington. It wasn't one of my favorite five, but I'm right with you. I think the Huskies going to have a good year. Finally for me, I'm doing it, Joe. Rutgers over the 4.5. I have to, and I'm going to tell you why. They got to win these three games in early September, Temple, Syracuse, and Delaware. It is crucial. They get those three, Joe. They are going over this 4.5 total. They were very spunky last year with Greg Schiano's first year back in the Big Ten. Got a couple of wins. They were in the game a couple of other times. They have winnable Big Ten games at home against Michigan State, at home against Maryland. They go to Illinois, who, despite the win over Nebraska last week, is a winnable game for Rutgers. If they can get me 3-0 in Temple, Syracuse, and Delaware, Joe, I just need two wins in the Big Ten schedule. That's all I'm asking for. I'm backing Greg Schiano. I'm all in on the Scarlet Knights, Joe. Let's go.
I wish you the best. I can't do that. I can't pull the trigger, but I can pull the trigger on Mark Stoops and the Kentucky Wildcats. Woo, baby!
Okay, that's all right. This is a co one for us because I'm in on the over.
All right. Pulled me in. Will Levis and the Penn State Nittany Lions, the kids biting bananas. We have Chris Rodriguez, a physical back. We want to ground and pound that secondary, number one ranked statistical secondary in the SEC last year. I like this team from a skill player perspective. We also have Josh Ali, Nebraska transfer wide receiver Wandale Robinson. You think Scott Frost wanted him on Saturday in Champaign? Think so. Wandale Robinson going to be catching passes from Will Levis at 7. I think this could be a potential 9-3 football team. And don't look now, I also like them as a long shot, 25-1 to win the SEC East over Georgia and Florida. So I'm in on Kentucky, and I got one more. I have to talk about Penn State. I believe they have the nucleus to get to the college football playoff. 9, I think, is light for them. Think they could be an 11-win football team. I'm backing them week number 1 against Wisconsin. I'm a buyer of James Franklin. Give me Penn State over.
There you go. The college football full circle. Favorite win totals from me and Lisi. Let's cash some tickets, baby. All right, here we go. We'll come right back and wrap things up. College football full circle. Carver Lisi. Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM Channel 204. Right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College football full circle. Carver and Lisi here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. Wrapping it up. I got a lot to get in here, Joe. First, I could get a push with that Rutgers bet as well because PointsBet has them at 4. So I don't even need a 4.5 there. I can get a 4 and get a push, too. I didn't even win 5 games. They're going to do it. There are other ones, Joe, that me and you both really liked. We didn't mention them in our grouping here. I think we both like Utah over 8.5. We think the Utes are going to be very good this year. I personally like Oklahoma State over 7.5. Gundy usually wins his 8 or 9 games no matter what, and then they'll break your heart later on in the year. I think that both of us, we mentioned Washington. I'm going through my list that I took down, Joe.
We both love the
under on Va Tech, 7 or 7.5, wherever you can find it. I think we both actually really love the Duke under 3.5 as well, Joe. That was one that we were very key on. Further down the list here, I love over 7.5 with Nevada and Carson Strong, Joe. I'm in on Nevada. I think they're going to have a good year over there in the Mountain West, too.
Yeah, my two group of five, South Florida over 2.5, and I do happen to buy into Memphis as a dark horse to win the AAC with Grant Gunnell on the offense, Sean Dykes, and Tulane and Michael Pratt. Tough number, tough schedule. I'm buying in now with the Hurricane. These kids rally up. I think they get to 6-7 wins this season.
And two more unders for me, group of five wise. Cincinnati with the 10. Listen, I think they're going to lose the Indiana and Notre Dame games. So that right there is a push if they win every single other game, which I don't think they'll do. And the San Jose State Spartans, I think you could still get it a couple places, even though they already have a win under their belt. I don't think that they're going to win 8 games this year, Joe. I just don't. So I'm down on San Jose State.
Yeah, good quality win. I'm curious how this line plays. It's 13.5 last night on FanDuel for USC. We got to take. I mean, we're in agreement. We like USC early on.
Yep. Joe, great stuff as always, my man. I will talk to you tomorrow. We do have a game tomorrow night as well. We got that UAB game we're going to chew on tomorrow. Joe Lisi, great job. Andrew Torres as well, tremendous stuff. College football full circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We'll see you guys tomorrow.